I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Word is out, they're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler, won't say it twice cause we're already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 714, he said, looking at Kevin. 715.
You got it. First try.
Yeah.
Edit. Thanks to editing. You can't tell when we edit anymore.
That's true. He'll fix all the editing.
You can't notice the weird jump break in the video.
It's like, man, every time I edit now, I'm like, man, this is a lot trickier with editing.
So I already
had I known that last week's episode was going to be on the main feed,
you would have worn it.
I would have not cussed as much. So sorry. Oh.
I know I was liberally.
When I realized that was going to happen, I was like, oh no,
poor Kevin. Nah, we don't care. Let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin,
and this is Tom. And joining us this week once again from the Patreon.
Oh, I thought you were going to say my name.
I was going to say it, but I can't remember.
You're right. It's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might know me from the last episode where my hair looks real bad. Because I thought, just me and Joe, it's fine. Who's going to see it?
Oh, you
got called
everyone.
Up to the big leagues.
Right. Yeah, you took over the main feed last week.
That's right.
And you'll have a Patreon episode coming out this week. So this will be three episodes in a row featuring Matt.
What's it feel like to finally be on a show that hit Tripped Edge?
Well, I tell you what, you know, this was my plan all along.
You're like, I'll reach out to the clip out.
Yes, yes. This is how I'll infiltrate a successful podcast. Well, successful.
Yeah.
More successful than mine.
And it just keeps creeping up. He was on like a month ago. Now he's on three times in a week. And yeah. It's like all of a sudden he's just going to start showing up. That's how it happens. That's
like herpes.
That's right. That's how I got here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Herpes?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Herpes the love bug. Yeah. So before we dig into the movie, that's some kind of bug.
That's a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
trademark Real Spoilers. If you say it, that trademarks
that's
it, right?
That's what we've been doing.
Yes. Put the episode on a tape, mail it to yourself.
Is that how it works? The postmark it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I never said the name of the movie.
By all means.
Yeah. Weird, the Alfred Yankovic story.
There you go.
So shameless plugs before we dig in. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast.
Do you think anyone ever forgets?
I don't know. But they,
I mean, do you think that you just reminded someone?
I don't know. All the things say you're supposed to do this.
Everything I've read is what it's saying. Yes.
I just was wondering if someone's like, oh, that's right.
I know.
I always wanted to, because
I'm like, they're already here.
Yeah, right.
Here's the thing. In the words of Stan Lee, every podcast is somebody's first podcast.
Yeah.
That's true.
There you go. So say it every time.
But to Matt's point, how are they listening?
Where are they at? Yeah.
I just want to know the place they're listening that isn't one of those places.
Well, maybe now it's YouTube.
They just play us over the speaker and Dillard's.
Right? Because that's what I mean. If you're on the radio or something, okay, well, that makes sense.
Can we get that to happen?
Why?
At Dillard's, probably.
That's fair.
I don't think that would be very on demo for us anyway.
You don't think so?
No. Like, I
guess played in, I don't know, Spencer's.
Yeah, that would make
if we start doing some Columbo movies for the Misbegotten sequel series or something.
I would love to do that.
I'd be down for some Columbo,
let's do it.
So where was I? Oh, yeah. All the places you can find us, you should follow us while you're there so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave a review. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers while you're there. Like the page, join the group. And, of course, the group is called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you'll share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode the last 2 weeks.
Ooh.
Either or, not both.
Yeah, Matt and Joe didn't read the show sharers.
Yeah.
It's pretty messed up.
Never will.
Yep.
Dissect That Film, Chris Valls, Gabriel Lugo, Julianne Jordan, Christopher Rex, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Heather Sachs, Librarian Cynthia, Ralph Tribble, Lane Levanway, Josh Rosen, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Glenn Cougar, Mellon Brewer, Chris Sanders, Ken Holtzhauers, Edit Photo Gamer, Collateral Cinema, David Rojas, Mike and Oscar, Chris Williams, Minorities Report, Matt Naglia, Invasion of the Remake, Vertigay 314, Geek to Me Radio, Ronnie Castle, In Session Film, Colby Mack, Nostalgia Cast, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, and Feelin' Film. So thank you very much.
Now, wait a minute. I shared the show, and I wasn't on it last week.
I didn't see a post for the show to get shared.
Oh, what?
What? No, there was
Oh, for sure.
For last
for
week,
sure.
Yeah.
For Hellraiser? Or, yeah.
Hellraiser.
Right. Oh, okay. Kevin
sure.
Parker.
Thank
Kevin,
you. Thank you. I'm just saying, I wasn't on the show last week. It rarely happens. And mm-hmm. I sure did share it. Thank you.
Kevin Bragg.
So there's all that. And finally, don't forget, we have a Patreon. So the good news is you get all sorts of bonus content. The bad news is a lot of it contains Matt F. Basler.
Yeah, and I also just joined the Patreon. I just signed up for the Patreon.
I still haven't.
And I've been on every episode, I think, since I did that.
There so you can finally listen to it.
Oh, I was like, oh, I like these guys. I listen to the main.
Maybe. It's you and me.
I know. I was there. It's like maybe there's some cool stuff there, but you can go back.
Wacky stuff if you keep going back.
And I will tell you, I have actually for years now, and I'm not kidding, I have been looking for a very, very special recording that I have not been able to find. But when I do, it will end up on that Patreon.
Is it what I think it is?
It is the test pilot for Real Spoilers that you weren't there for.
I wasn't there for.
Me and Tom recorded a dollar store movie that we found because our original idea before Real Spoilers was to do dollar store movies.
We were going to do a thing where we would be only movies that you would find on DVD at the dollar
and
store.
And now
like dollar Walgreens
store,
or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, like
nice.
Deals or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now the dollar store sells like Blu-rays and like legit movies.
Right.
But back then it was like those really thin ones that were printed on like
where
someone's Canon
like,
printer. And
you're just like, when was, who, how did this movie
come? It's like Bing Crosby's in it. Like it just makes
that's hilarious.
There's
just one bin full of Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, I mean, like that was almost always mixed in because it's in the public domain, so anybody can put it out there. But sometimes there'd be movies with like pretty big name actors.
And you'd be like, when did they do that?
Yeah.
And no one's ever heard of it. But I couldn't even tell you what we recorded. But we did some podcast, and it was recorded on some old computer. And then
I remember talking about it. I honestly don't remember ever recording it.
No, I remember it was back when I lived in the last place, which is over 10 years ago, and we just were like, we want to do a podcast, and we tried it out, and I don't know, we didn't go with that idea, but that recording is somewhere on a hard drive. And
do you know there's like 4 of ours, right, that we did, like 2 guys, 1 remote?
Well, we released those. That was on the Review STL podcast.
Oh, okay.
Or something.
Okay,
like, that was its own feed. We did release those.
See, again. 10
but anyway,
years ago.
but if we found the really old stuff, like that's the kind of thing I would love to put on the Patreon. Stuff people have never even heard before. So I'm looking for it. Just know that may be on
the
way.
That's fine. Okay. Hey, man, if I can not have to do it for a Friday, that'd be all right.
And it's only $5 a month.
That's right.
So,
there you go.
There you go. So there's all that. Let's dig into Weird.
If there was ever a biopic, like the way that this is structured is about as Weird Al as you can get.
For sure.
I mean that in the best possible way.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think
this movie was great.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought
so much
I
fun.
Could not believe how much fun it was. I didn't know what to expect going into it. But judging by that first trailer, I was like, okay, I think I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
But
and
it
delivered on every possible thing.
I love not only the deadpan delivery from Daniel Radcliffe and how serious the biopic takes itself.
Yeah.
But then when it goes off in a completely different direction, like, so it starts off telling this fantasy, you know, embellished version of like how Weird Al became Weird Al. But then it goes off in a completely different direction.
It does like a Behind the Music VH1 kind of story where it's like, you know.
But the way it alters reality of, I'm not going to do parody songs.
Well, I got to tell you, I thought they were going to, given the controversy surrounding a certain artist, I thought they were going to say that Eat It was like, that Beat It never existed. That's the one when he's like, when in the movie, they say that he wrote it first and then Michael Jackson parodied him.
Yeah.
I was like, if they are ballsy enough to be like, nope, Beat It never existed, this is the only verse. I was like, man, that is a bold move on their part. They didn't do that, but that's where I thought they were going.
Oh, it was great. The Madonna stuff. Evan Rachel Wood is Madonna. I thought she was so good in this.
She was. Oh. I forgot. I didn't realize that was her until about halfway through it.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah, the gal from Westworld.
Oh, rest in peace, Westworld.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye.
What a bummer. One season to go. And
I got to tell you, didn't get through season two.
Oh.
I never even made it. I watched the first season and I was like, that feels like enough.
That's the best one. Yeah. I mean, I liked the show all the way through, but the first is the best.
Yeah. I was just like, if going into season two, it, like, that just feels exhausting. And
it
I
was.
Just never did.
It was exhausting.
Yeah.
What about you, Matt?
I never seen Westworld. Can we talk about a movie I did watch? That'd be great.
We're talking about the show, not the Yul Brynner Westworld movie.
Never seen that movie.
Oh, perfect.
Did you ever see Future World?
No.
Did you ever see The King and I?
Aziz Dollar Store? What are we talking about? Do you think that the Michael Jackson version, they should have called it a serious, that he made a serious of your song?
That would be great.
I thought that
was pretty good. That's
sometimes
pretty good.
I watch movies and I think, boy, if I wrote this.
Oh, I do that a lot.
I'm the funniest guy, so.
Trust me, I've watched Halloween Ends a bunch. So
right. Yeah, you wrote a pretty good movie out of that
thing.
Thank
you very much.
Now, Matt, we had you on because you like music.
I love music.
And that means you probably know Weird Al because, you know,
I've never met the man, but I am familiar with his work. Certainly one of the first tapes I ever bought was Off the Deep End, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
Classic. That's pretty good.
I think Weird Al is a lot of people's first record or cassette.
Yeah, and
I think Bad Hair Day was my first CD of his.
The thing for me, well, where are you guys at with old Weird?
So I definitely way into it when I was younger.
Oh, for sure.
Big time.
That's the arc. Right?
And I still like anything, like I heard Amish.
And then you graduated to Tom Lehrer.
That's right. Yeah. But I heard when they do Amish Paradise at the end of the song, mm-hmm. I was like, oh yeah, turn that on in the car when I got in the car. So like I enjoy him every once in a while now, but nowhere near like I used to listen to Bad Hair Day or what was the Jurassic Park one?
Alapalooza?
And then the one before that were like the three that were like in my. Is it Off the Deep End?
It could be. Yeah. It could be.
I think those are the three that
but
I pay attention to.
He still got it. I'll tell you what. I saw him at the Fox a few years ago, the big theater that we have here in town. And
did he sell that place
out? He puts on a high energy. I mean,
if you've
much.
Never seen Weird Al Yankovic live, you're missing out.
I mean, live, he puts on a hell of a show. Costume changes, video production, dancers, like all this stuff. Sometimes he plays with an orchestra. Whoa. You know, he went
to
that's
the current
like that.
Tour he's doing, is I think, was with an orchestra. I think that just wrapped up.
Dang.
And then before that, he did a tour where it was no novelty songs. It was all, or no parody songs. It was all the other stuff he wrote. And it was called, like, Weird Al's self-indulgence
that was
vanity project, something like that. But
he puts on a great show, and I interviewed him before he did a show at Tom's Arena one time and saw that
you
show.
Own that place?
Yes, I am.
Tom's Arena.
But I've met him twice. He's super nice.
He's a super nice guy and obviously very talented. But I mean, all these years later, he's still putting on a hell of a show. So if you ever have the chance to see him, like if you listened to him when you were younger, if you watched this movie and heard these songs, you're like, yeah, man, these are great and catchy. Like, it's really cool to go see him.
The stage show is amazing because, I mean, it's costume changes for almost every song.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And you know, here's the thing that I don't think people talk about enough, and by enough, I mean at all, how good that band is.
Oh, really?
Right? Sure. Because that band,
they switch genres.
They got to sound like a different band every 3 minutes or the joke doesn't work.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
And he's had, from what I understand, the same band like the entirety of his career. and they are spot on. They sound great. Like,
are they the guys that just picked up instruments and said, we can play backup for
But like, no sense of hyperbole at all. Yeah. Weird Al belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the whole band. They are ridiculously good, and I remember reading a quote one time about Sammy Davis Jr., and I feel like it applies to Weird Al Yankovic, where someone said, you might not like Sammy Davis Jr., but you will never leave a Sammy Davis Jr. show saying that that man did not try to entertain you.
Sure, sure.
That
sure,
is
sure.
Weird Al Yankovic. Like, those shows, I had saw him live when I was a kid. He opened for the Monkees in 87.
That tracks.
And so, yeah, which is a great opening act for the Monkees, right? And so I saw him, and it was a fun show, but it was like 30 minutes, and I didn't really think anything of it. I was 16 when I saw it, you know? And so I saw him again as an adult with the new appreciation. I was just like, Weird Al, like an hour and a half, 2 hours of Weird Al songs? Like, really? Like, and
how much more do you have to play?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just seems like that would get kind of stale. And I could not have been more wrong. Like,
that's fun.
If you've never seen it, you really owe it to yourself. He's a national goddamn treasure. Yeah.
Well, sure.
But
I agree.
Oh, my God.
He seems like a sweet man. Certainly had me cracking up as a boy. And I have grown into something of a man.
Adjacent.
And I feel as though Weird Al's humor is still the same humor. I feel I've never seen him live, and I do feel like that would be the way to experience a show, right? But I think there's a thing about like humor that sort of evolved. Like Three Stooges aren't funny anymore. I know there'd be like instances where you go, well, that was funny. But like on a whole, it's like, well, I've once cartoons do it.
Do you still laugh at Looney Tunes?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, okay.
I get what you're saying, though. Like, it's easier to go back and appreciate old humor than it is to actually laugh at it. So, like, I love Abbott and Costello, but if I watch an Abbott and Costello movie, not exactly.
You're enjoying it.
And a lot of it's almost more nostalgia-based, and I think Weird Al's in that same
camp
for a lot
of
people.
And it becomes sort of quaint and like, oh, this is cute. And I do, I'll tell you, I don't talk about this, because I feel like you really get, people don't like when you don't like Weird Al.
Because he just seems like the nicest guy in the world, and he's talented, so it's like, it's hard to say anything bad about Weird Al.
Well, I also think he was, again, probably not the first one, but the first one to do big parody productions, right? Like this full band recording studio.
Right.
Sounds like the original,
sounds
but
just
it's
like
funny.
It.
There'd always been novelty songs.
Right.
And occasionally even parody songs, but like not with this level of production. And I would say in most cases, no one ever really knew the name of the person.
Yep.
They would like the particular song, but
and it wasn't a career.
It
was a one-off thing that someone
it would
did.
Come and go. I don't know that anybody really ever built an entire career on
And that's cool. It's cool to be the first big one to do it. But now, everybody does it. And I think there are people on YouTube who are perhaps doing it maybe better than Weird Al. Maybe funnier
than
Weird Al.
Thanks, Matt, I guess.
I think it's also difficult now because pop culture is so fragmented, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
So, like, you know, when he starts, he really takes off in the age of MTV. Like, MTV was, I mean, he predates it, but it was rocket fuel for him.
Sure.
And I think that's where the idea of the production value came in, because he would recreate the videos.
Too,
Without video, I don't think we'd be talking about Weird Al anymore. It would have been a...
He'd be right along with the guy who made Rock Me Amadeus.
Right.
Rock Me Jerry Lewis.
I think he deserves all the, I want nothing but good things for Weird Al. It's just always been kind of an interesting thing to me to see people, specifically his music, be like, dude, that guy's so funny. And it's like, I mean, you're just talking about like what if the song was about food?
I think some of it is.
And he does hit some clever, it's not like it's never funny and a good, clever twist on a thing, but I just feel like on a whole, it's oftentimes like Sometimes, I mean, you just make a list of the words about pizza and plug
them.
Well,
it's so easy, Matt, why don't you make a parody album for your next album?
Well, I now, and this is another problem with what I'm talking about. I did make an album of synth covers of modern country songs about beating people up. It didn't change any of the lyrics, but it's like, but Matt, if you're out there making sort of funny music, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. It is, to your point, though, I do agree is that you know, as our sense of humor goes from Looney Tunes to the Three Stooges, and just it is a progressive thing. And
for
we're,
some,
that's fair. That is fair. I don't watch the Three Stooges anymore, but I will go back and watch Looney Tunes every once in a while just because they're fun. I think
there's more to enjoy there, though, right? You can sure. also enjoy the art and the animation.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, there's other moving parts to take in.
And maybe a better example. You ever watch like the first season of SNL?
Oh, it's brutal.
Incomprehensible. It's like, I don't know what this is, what is supposed
the fact,
to be
the
funny
fact that
here.
It got out of a first season
yeah.
is pretty impressive.
But you also
but even then
but comedy is one of those things you always have to take in historical context, what's going on around it, right?
Sure.
And so SNL, you watch it now with a modern eye and yeah, it's not very good. Like the original stuff specifically. They were the anti Carol Burnett
right
show
sure.
right, and so that's why when like now there's a little movement of like get Carol Burnett on SNL, and I'm like okay, but they created SNL to counter Carol Burnett. Like Carol Burnett's
there's
great.
A movement to get her to host
yeah like how they did with Betty White.
Oh, you know? sure
and Carol Burnett is great.
She might still kill.
She probably would. Yeah. You know, I mean, she's
wasn't she just on
Better Call Saul?
Yeah. So, like, she's and still out
she's
there.
She's a comedy
it.
Legend. She's brilliant. Like but it's a different style of comedy, and this ushered in a new style of comedy, right? But like if you ever watch like the clip shows, they'll show you clips from the original those early years, right?
Yeah.
And the one they always show you is that SNL or the Star Trek one, right?
Yes.
And you're like, "Oh, that's really funny," right? But if you watch the whole sketch, like they show you like 90 seconds and yeah. it's really funny, but it's like a 9 minute sketch.
Oh man.
Like it just goes on and on and on.
Yikes.
And so like this idea of people like SNL used to be funny and now it's not any good. It's like,
I mean, oh, I have a whole,
yeah. Like
dude,
you're just
I
a
love
whiny
SNL.
Little,
I think SNL's, yeah. it definitely goes through like foul yeah. periods, but I think that's kind of to be expected.
Well, and even within an episode, like even the greatest episodes have clunkers in them.
Yeah.
Like.
I think it's the whole, to me, people watch the show wrong. It's almost more like you should watch, can these people every week pull off anything
funny
at sure. all?
Yeah.
And it's a miracle. And the costumes and sets are all built, you know, that week. It's an incredible thing. And then I feel like it's fun to watch it, like when a sketch ends real weird or something, and you're going like, oh, they didn't figure it out in time. They right. had to do something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a famous quote from Lorne Michaels where he's like, he goes, we don't go on because we're ready. We go on because it's 11:30.
It's not
yeah.
ready for prime time. Right.
Right. Like that's, it's, yeah. you know.
That's it's more than one way to take that. Right?
Yeah.
It's actually Al Franken was just on the
Weird Al Franken.
Yeah, right. The Your Mom's House podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's just very interesting to hear him talk about just the inner workings of that whole thing. And they asked him, like, who's the worst that you ever had? And he was like, Steven Seagal. He was absolutely the worst guest host we've ever
had. Oh,
yeah.
Have you watched that episode?
It's terrible.
It's crazy.
And Al Franken does not pull any punches. He lets him, like, he says everything that's possible.
I've heard stories from people
if,
talking
if you
about
can
that.
Find it on YouTube, I'm sure.
And
I think they
nuts,
post it.
Steven Seagal, powerful man in Hollywood. So,
well, at one point,
who knows what'll happen? And Al Franken's at the height of his career. So.
Just right, the
tippy,
two of them,
tippy top.
So all this to say, movie was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I did appreciate about it is that it's written by Weird Al.
Yeah.
He seems to sort of understand this because part of what's funny is everybody jizzing a brick over his do you have to wow. cluck jizz, is that a
you said it
just
twice.
Say it a few more times and I'll figure it out in editing.
What if I say it once over here and once over here, does that make it harder to cut the video?
This is what happens when Matt is only on the Patreon. We're not used to
is
this real spoilers after dark?
Yeah, that's right
it's funny that Right. Everybody's reacting to like my Bologna, like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And I feel like he sort of gets it. Like,
oh, for sure.
Well, that's why this it's in the movie. That's why it's so, it's like, because.
It's, well, and you always, it's also a parody. You always have these scenes
right.
in these movies where they write their hit and they have
the light bulb moment.
And they have this,
I was thinking Bohemian Rhapsody all
I mean,
day
you have it there.
This.
You have it in Aretha Franklin where sure. she doesn't write it, but she reworks Respect. So she comes up with the arrangement, you know.
Right.
And like, you know, there's that moment in Ray where they invent Hit the Road Jack, like on the fly in front of a crowd. And it's like, maybe it's true. Maybe it's half true. And like 60 years later, they kind of remember it being a little bit more like that than it actually was. But like, almost every one of these movies had. This is the movie Walk Hard wanted to be.
I thought the same thing.
Well, interesting.
I thought the exact same thing.
I love Walk Hard too. That was what I was going to say before the show. I was thinking this movie is if Walk Hard was actually a Johnny Cash biopic.
Yes.
That, you know, went off the rails. Like, that is what this is. I think Dewey Cox was a real person. And it's like, oh, this is how this story happened.
What's the gap between the actual Johnny Cash biopic?
Walk the line and walk hard.
Is there
two years?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know why I keep thinking that they're like back to back. And I was like, whoever planned that out,
I mean, that's
was brilliant.
I mean, essentially back to.
I guess that's true for movies.
You need time to write, produce it.
Like, right.
Star Wars and Spaceballs. That's like that's like 10 years, right, or something. So, it's a huge.
Yeah,
surrounded by assholes. No, I think I thought Dewey Cox the entire time, and I think Dewey Cox is a hilarious movie.
You know, that it has some really funny moments.
Yeah,
I don't think it works as a whole, but there are some very funny.
Maybe
moments.
I need to see it again. It's been a minute.
But Pop Star, Walk Hard.
Popstar.
Oh, I forgot
stars,
about Popstar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Popstar's in my. That's in my like
Malibu's
list of
most wanted,
most underrated films.
Yeah. Is that right?
That and three off the top of my head underrated comedies: MacGruber.
Oh, MacGruber! Don't Popstar, even get me started.
And the Motorcycle Man. It's the same guy.
Hot Rod. Hot Rod is one of my.
Hot
faves.
Rod got lost to time because it opened the same weekend as Superbad.
It's interesting that. But if you look at that. All of those movies, those are all SNL guys that were, that was like a people,
two of them
people,
the same guy.
People, that's right. But Will Arnett and
Sandberg.
Andy Samberg.
And it's the Lonely Island guys.
But like those.
Will Forte.
Who is in this movie.
Those get like that. To me, that era of SNL kind of gets forgotten about.
Yeah,
sure.
With the exception of like In the Box and things like that. But,
oh, but those digital shorts, I think
great.
That's one of the best.
But to your point
but
is like
people tend
that,
to remember the digital shorts and not the
and
sketches.
Not the sketches,
oh, true,
you know,
true.
And that's to me that it's funny.
Those digital shorts are what like made SNL.
Oh yeah,
popular.
Well, now they have that group,
Lonely Island.
They're good.
They got those the three guys.
People say "Don't Stop or I'll Die," but that's Paul
Rust. Paul Rust.
No, what I don't. Oh, I can't. I'm blanking on it.
Is it the three guys? Is it Mick? Mickey, whatever his name is.
The red-haired guy and the other two guys.
I'm sure they're writers
Don't
on
delete?
The show
what
as well.
Get a bit of bad.
I'm sure they write on the show, too, but they're not in sketches.
No.
They're only
these
digital shorts.
Yeah.
That's such a funny... I guess they don't call them... Did they call them that?
No.
Anymore?
No,
surely not. Right?
But
oh,
they
digital,
got,
interesting.
But they got three guys to do digital shorts. Like
which,
they,
but is also frustrating because people act like that's new.
Right.
And like... Yeah. They were doing pre-produced film bits in the first season. Albert Brooks was making them for
Do you
them.
Remember?
They're not funny.
They're not, though. Like, there was that one with, is it Jane Curtin and Phil Hartman? Where it's like a throwback to a 19... Maybe it's not
it's
Jane
like
Curtin.
It's like Sad or something, right?
Like, they do like a throwback to a 1930s...
Like,
drama
like yeah like
and
they
the
do
whole,
like this dance thing
and the whole thing and like it and it ends with like them dancing together to this sad ass music
but
to
they,
a spotlight
but
and
they had
like,
always they did stuff like that in the original
it was
run
such
SNL.
A
they would
weird,
make these weird yeah. and they used to have stand-ups on that you mean they,
doing acts
yeah they oh. I mean yeah they had I mean that's where I mean Joel Hodgson was on there. Harry Anderson would pop up and do stuff
sometimes.
Harry Anderson
popping up.
There was that guy I always forget his name, but there was this
Eddie
guy
Murphy.
Who was a juggler. They had a juggler on there.
Really?
Yeah. And he was great. He was really funny. Yeah. But it's like Michael something. He's got this very bland name. But
Smith.
I mean, practically. Yeah. But
it's my brother-in-law.
But they used to do all sorts of different stuff, you know?
Juggles a baby.
So this movie, it was co-written by Eric Appel, who also directed it, and he's the guy that made the Funnier Die skit. This is adapted.
This movie's adapted
from a 15-year-old Funnier Die skit that was just a throwaway gag. It was hilarious. It had all these guests, all these famous people playing parts.
Yeah, guest spots.
And it was just this little 5-minute fake trailer for Weird, the Al Yankovic story. And I loved when they announced this movie and they said it was the same title. I'm like, they're going with the parody title. Like, you could kind of sense the tone of it just from that. Like, that's what they're doing. And so this is the same guy. I didn't realize until I had just watched him. Like, I didn't know the same guy was involved.
It's funny because I, like, he has there ever been another musical act that is gonna have that has had two bites at the apple and kind of made like these cult favorite films? Because I think this will probably I'm bummed that this went to Roku, and I'm not trying to poop on Roku, but let's be honest,
it's just not going to get seen
correct
by a very wide audience. But
it's going to be a huge bump for Roku because
I
think a lot of people are talking about this movie.
Yeah.
So like,
I think it's good for Roku. It's maybe not it's
good for the movie.
Good for the movie, but
but they got paid. I'm sure. Like,
yeah,
sure.
You know, I mean, Roku financed it. I'm guessing. So.
Do they own it or do they license it ultimately?
I thought it said it's a Roku production.
Well, there's a lot of things that say like Netflix original that weren't Netflix originals.
That's fair.
And so I wonder if like in 5 years it ends up on Netflix or you can buy it on Vudu or
you know, I don't I used to think I knew how that worked with streaming.
I know
they can just stop showing their own originals and it can whatever. But anyway, so
but I was thinking about UHF. Like UHF has like this massive cult following. Yeah. Like
now
to the
people
point,
are talking about UHF 2. They want a UHF.
I don't want a UHF 2.
Or they want
like
a faux.
UHF to me is it's just not funny. None of that works.
And I own it, but I know
there are people who love it and you love it because you saw it when you were 14.
Yep.
And you can still enjoy it on that level. But like I think I probably was 14 when it came out, but I was just like, this isn't funny. And it just never worked.
It was very
me.
Irreverent.
Well, I feel look. Personally, I love nostalgia. Driving by my old house, oh, great, love it. But I do, it's so irritating to me that people can't separate nostalgia from, like, I want a UHF, too.
So irritating that people love things that make them feel good.
No. And I specifically said that's not
it's irritating that they can't recognize what's driving their love for it.
Right. Like, I know.
Like, people that grew up watching the original Halloween and then watched all the sequels, and they love Halloween. So these new ones come out. The new ones come out, and they just love these new Halloween movies.
And no matter how hard you try to get through to them, with facts and logic, they will go to the ends of the earth to say that Halloween Ends was good movie.
Why do I feel like you're talking about me?
I
gotta tell you, there was a moment where I thought you were gonna say Monster Squad, and I was ready to come across this table.
No, because Monster Squad was never good. Like I don't.
What are you talking about?
That's not even nostalgia.
We can go on if you'd like. I can tell you.
You and Glenn Cougar Mellenbrewer are gonna.
That's right.
We'll go to the ends of the earth.
I will. I've watched it a couple more times.
But I indulge in nostalgia. You know, I'll go back and listen to some bad music and it gives me the good feeling, but I don't want this band to make another record. Like I don't need to go further into their catalog than the one CD I had at 13.
Give me one of those.
That's hypothetical. I listen to really good music. The Weird Al. I never had Bad Hair Day.
Okay.
Oh.
But I could listen to Off the Deep End and be like, oh, yeah. Or Ren and Stimpy Vidiots or Beavis and Butthead soundtrack. Oh, no, that's actually good.
That is a good soundtrack.
That's just
didn't he do
songs.
A Nirvana? Was that Off the Deep End? The Nirvana?
Off the Deep End is Smells Like Nirvana.
But with the pool.
The song on that is Smells Like Nirvana.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I had that.
But I don't
too.
Think I would enjoy Bad Hair Day.
It's got Amish
today.
On
yeah. And even at that point when that song came out. The video was kind of cool, but that's what Amish people do. You're right.
For Weird Al songs for me, it's like I listen to them once and I'm like, oh, that's good. And then I maybe listen to a second time just to like, now that I know where it's going.
Play for your friend. Isn't this funny? But then they don't laugh and you go, well.
Yeah.
Pretty fun for a rabbi.
That's pretty good.
But then I'm kind of done with it. Like I don't need to revisit it in the same way that I would listen to the original song.
It's like someone telling
it.
A joke over and over.
Yeah.
So this movie, we should talk about the movie. So
not really why I came here, man.
But this thing is stacked. The cast that they got for this movie. So Diedrich Bader starts off as the narrator who's talking as if he was Al telling the story of his life. There's been some kind of accident. Al is rushed into a hospital. Lin-Manuel Miranda is the doctor and he's about to call it and Al pops back up to life. And he's like, okay, maybe we need to rewind a bit.
Yeah.
So you know something's going to go crazy. And you also know that there was never some situation Al was in where he almost...
I mean, if you know Weird Al, you know that there's never been... Knock on wood.
Yeah.
There's never been a controversy.
Yeah, he doesn't curse in real life. He doesn't even curse like outside his songs. He says he's never cursed in his life. So like Weird Al is a clean-cut guy with no controversy. But the movie starts off with him in this crazy tragic accident and they're, you know, about to call it. So it rewinds back and it goes to his childhood and his home life is crazy and it's like just like his mom is like, "Yeah, we just want you to stop being yourself and doing things you enjoy." The dad's like, "I want you to work in the factory."
What do you make at the factory? What do I make at the factory? What do I make at the factory?
It's so vague, the whole movie.
I really thought the reveal was going to be that they made accordions.
I said the same thing to Katie. I go, I bet they make accordions.
That would be pretty good.
Was some kind of tie-in with accordions, so kind of with the dad. So it
would
actually
have been kind of double-dipping on that joke.
Because I thought, oh, well, he makes accordions all day, and he's done that his whole life.
Right.
He hates accordions, but the spoilers, like the reason he doesn't want him to play accordion is because he had this tragedy couldn't play the accordion when he was a
Guess
kid.
What? He was an Amish boy.
Yeah. So the one day a traveling Tom Lennon.
It's not John.
I'm
pretty sure.
If it's John, whoa. Well,
they got him.
Weird Al. I mean, it's a lot of cameos.
They have buried the lead.
So
I'm still thinking, what was that? Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Man. That scene still like hits me in a certain way that I didn't expect it to hit me.
All your troubles seem so far away.
I'm telling you, man, when he opens that door and he starts talking to John, and like John Lennon standing there, I don't know why, like right in the
Robert Carlyle played?
Yeah, I think so. But it's like, whoa, I don't know why. But still, every time I see that scene, right in the gut.
So anyway, Thomas Lennon shows up as a traveling door-to-door accordion salesman.
Which is how Weird Al really got his accordion.
New boot goofing.
I mean, his dad didn't beat the crap out of him.
But seriously, the guy came...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that is true.
Because I thought this is so ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, no. And like I guess they were debating if they wanted to get him a guitar or an accordion, and the mom landed on accordion.
Oh, man.
Because she thought, like, well, he could be a one man band. Mm-hmm.
I think
he wouldn't need other people to make his little songs.
Tom Lennon is kind of low key one of the funnier people you will see. Like,
he pops up in a lot of stuff.
But he is.
He's in The Dark Knight, right? Or Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, he's in one
Bruce
of those. Isn't
doctor.
He?
Yeah.
But when he's laying on the ground. And the mom's like, oh, we'll get you some help. And he just like coughs
spitting up blood.
He's like, please.
But so, yeah. So in this version, the mom and dad don't want him to have anything to do with music. And basically the dad beats the crap out of him. What are you doing in my house? And he goes for a walk and the mom goes to get their coffee can of money. And she's like, sorry, we'll buy the accordion. And then she's having this heart to heart with Al on the couch. And he's like spitting up blood. And she's like, excuse me, we're having a talk here. So that's the tone of the movie where it's so ridiculous and preposterous. But it's played deadpan. It's played seriously.
Very
the whole time. No one's winking at the camera.
If Weird Al were to make a Weird Al version of a music biopic, this is it.
Yeah.
This is exactly what this is.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
But I think they played it 100% right with the tone. Like, this movie works so well because it's not
winking
stupid.
At you. Like,
Scary Movie, Scary Movie 2, okay, you know, the first couple were funny. Then they did all the knockoff
Well,
ones.
Then the airplane guys came in. That's what it was. The guys that did Airplane came in.
How did
in.
The airplane guys mess it up?
Because they went the airplane route with it and just made it, like, super
But, yeah,
because
originally it was Wayne's Brothers doing it. And then they pushed them out, and they brought in... I don't know if they brought in all of Zazz, but they brought in key components of it.
Yeah.
And I think Pat Proft was part of it, too.
Oh,
maybe.
Maybe that humor didn't hold up the way
and
it did in the 70s.
Yeah, and so they... But, yeah.
But they got, four of those things?
Something. They made a bunch
but
of
the
them.
But the point is, though, is that it's just stupid. It's not funny. It's so silly, and it's not clever. And so, like, if they would have been winking at the camera the whole time, I think this would have just seemed dumb as opposed to how funny it was. With the production value and the actors. And
you know what is one of the things that I kind of love is that Daniel Radcliffe has made so much money.
Oh, he can do whatever he wants.
He's like Elijah Wood.
Yeah. And you know, he had to get away from being typecast. As soon as he graduated from that Harry Potter
business. As soon as Deadly Hallows 2 came out, he's like, can I pull my dick out on stage? I'm like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, he really did a smart thing by changing the trajectory of his career and not to be seen as this.
That's tough, man. I mean, those what year did those start? 99? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. And then like 2001.
And they ran until 5 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
And I guess not including the Eddie Redmayne stuff. Yeah. That doesn't count. But I mean,
he grew up.
Watch that kid grow up on film.
Right. Exactly. So it's really hard to get away from that. And he did a great job. Swiss Army Man, I always talk about how that movie is just amazing. But he's done some really weird stuff. I mean, that Guns Akimbo.
That's a weird movie.
I mean, as much as I don't like the director and all the crap he's done. But that is a weird movie. Daniel Radcliffe has surgically, they've installed guns on his hand. He's running around in his underwear and a robe with guns. Like
was he in Now You See Me 2?
I never saw that one. I think so, but okay.
I do appreciate that him and Elijah Wood have both been like, hey man,
same thing.
I'm gonna go make this weird color of money shape. What's that? What's the Nicolas Cage one? Didn't he do one with Nicolas Cage that was based off of like it's like a horror flick, like in the woods.
There's a lot of those.
But like this is like this is like
was
that
Elijah
Nicolas,
Wood in that?
I thought he produced it.
Oh, okay. I don't think he was in that. You're talking about the color.
I don't know.
But either way, but that's what he was doing, right? Yeah. Like he did Maniac. Like he did a remake of Maniac.
Yeah, Maniac was good.
Bonkers to me that they were like
all first person, right? That was like the deal.
Oh, was it?
The whole it's all from the perspective of Elijah Wood. You only see him in like mirrors and stuff. I'm pretty sure.
No Joe Spinell, I guess, in that one.
No, and he's a handsome man this time.
That's kind of like was it Peeping Tom?
Peeping Tom is it's fun to see him being able to do. Hey man, I'm gonna do. Imperium.
It's great. Well, and Daniel Radcliffe is a really, really good actor, and I'm glad he was able to get away from that. And again, because of his talent, because he had the foresight to be like, I cannot be just in fantasy kids movies not Harry Potter, but like, here's this other fantasy young adult genre he could be in. You know,
who's the other kid? Who was his buddy?
Rupert
Ron
Grant?
Weasley.
He was just like, hey man, I'm out.
Well, I mean, none of them need to work, right?
No.
And so, like, you could just retire and start a family.
He's in that...
he just came back.
Shyamalan show.
Yeah, he just came back to that. But he took a time off and had a kid and stuff like that.
He's really good in it.
But none of them need to work. Right?
No.
And so he did a great... You know, he's gone, done all these weird movies. He's really good in everything he does.
And this weird movie.
But Equus is the one where you get naked on stage.
Yes, right. He's like, hey, man, I'm doing it.
But he's done a lot of stuff, and he's really good. And I think you would never have imagined him being cast as Weird Al. And he's great in the role. Like, it's awesome. And like when he wasn't,
that also makes the joke work, right? Like the joke is that it's not someone you would picture,
right?
You
know? Right.
He did an interview, I think he was on Fallon, and he was like, yeah, I got it, and like, I love Weird Al, and I was flattered, but I'm also like, physically I don't look anything like him. Are you sure you don't want someone that look? But that is the joke. It's
right.
Just
and that's what these things do, right? They cast these serious actors. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix doesn't look like Johnny Cash. Right.
The only one that comes close is Rami Malek, and that's because they did stuff to his face.
Yeah.
I still think he looked like a cartoon character. I know you always say like, oh, Freddie Mercury was kind of like, but I don't.
Although if you want to go back in time, Gary Busey's Buddy Holly.
That's a fair point. Yeah. That's a fair point.
Pre-head injury.
Well, yeah. There's, you know,
he was going to be a thing.
Yes. He was absolutely going to be a thing, and then
he's a thing.
He's a thing now.
It's a different kind.
It's a different kind of thing.
He needs to keep his thing to himself. What he needs to do.
Really.
So basically, I mean, there's some really funny bits. He sneaks out of the house to go to a polka party where
didn't know it was a polka party.
Right, but he's like, this is a polka party. So the biggest thing is,
my parents are going to kill me.
Yeah, he's trying to hide that he listens and plays polka. More camp Scott Aukerman comes to the door as a cop in this, and they end up bringing him home. Like, this is what your kid was doing. And the dad finds out he's been hiding his accordion playing. He goes to the closet, gets it, and
smashes it
on the ground. And so fast forward, and he's at college, and the guys convince him to...
It's the one kid from Unbreakable. It's the son from Unbreakable.
Oh, is it? Okay, I knew some of them looked... Yeah. That I know exactly what you're talking about.
But they basically are going around, and they're saying, like, what would you want to do with your life? And the one kid's like, I'd like to speed at 100 miles an hour and crash my car so my parents could find my body. And they're just like... Whoa.
Yeah. Suck on that, mom and dad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then obviously Al says that he wanted to write his own lyrics to songs.
Yeah.
And he's like, do it.
And the way it's so hilariously contrived, the way that they can come up like in the best way possible.
If you watch Aretha.
I can't watch biopics. I think they're so stupid.
Like, is it like this bad?
The scene where she like comes up with the arrangement for Respect,
yeah,
is just like this.
Okay, so just which like it's hilarious that if real biopics are doing this, because it seems so ridiculous in a satire. Yes, but it's like, well, they really...
So I kind of agree. I like biopics to an extent, but I also think that like, especially with like the Queen one, where it's like, none of this is true.
Right.
Rocket Man is so good.
Rocket Man is really good.
I didn't see Rocket Man, but it looks to be a different.
It's very,
it
different.
Very different. Yeah, but like the Elvis, which I also heard is good, but Elvis, I have no desire to watch it because it just looks like, I know what's.
But also,
I like biopics when they, instead of trying to tell the whole story,
you get the little chunk.
Like Spielberg's Lincoln, where he's like, I'm not going to tell you Lincoln's life story. I'm going to tell you about this 2-month period where they try to make slavery illegal, right? And like, and what they had to do to get it. Like,
what about the Spielberg biopic that's coming out?
That's supposed to be good.
But even then, that's not his whole life.
You know, it doesn't.
But he does start as a kid. But yeah, I don't know how.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're going to see him shooting Jaws.
No,
Amistad. Like, it's going to be about his childhood.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
when you truncate someone's life,
and then I got hired for Ready Player One.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that movie.
You know what was a good musical biopic? I thought that holds up, and because a lot of times they don't have a narrative. The NWA one.
Oh, Straight Outta Compton.
There we go.
Again, that one kind of looked better. I didn't see it because I really don't like biopics.
There's a narrative to it that you don't get in a lot of biopics, and it doesn't try to cover what they're doing today, because they kind of became a big deal and flamed out, and then all went separate ways, and it kind of ends with the flame out. But you get this narrative of like them fighting against what mainstream pop culture is saying about them.
Does it end with him dying? Is that how that ends? With him getting diagnosed with
AIDS? I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it. I just remember really enjoying it.
Yeah, it was a good pick.
But it's like inherently funny to smash someone's life down to an hour and 30 minutes. Like, there's no way to do
that's
it.
It's a whole life. Yeah, it's really hard to tell the whole story. So I agree with Tom. That is cool, and they focus on smaller parts. But here, it's like it doesn't even go anywhere, and it's hilarious. Mm. Maybe we won't spoil it yet, but I mean, it doesn't even go that far, which is funny because, different direction. But so they're sitting around the really contrived thing. He's like, oh, well, you know, that's never going to happen with me writing the silly words. Does anyone want a sandwich? And he goes to the fridge and he's like, oh, whose bologna is this?
Bologna.
And someone's like, it's my bologna.
It's funny, my wife, who really enjoyed the movie, didn't know the song.
Oh,
she's like, why do they keep calling it Bologna? And I was like, you just got it. Yeah.
The record skipped or whatever.
Yeah.
My Sharona.
So good.
So they're listening to My Sharona on the radio, and he goes and he's like, who's Bologna? It's my Bologna. And then the way that he freezes, he like the light bulb goes off.
Right.
And they focus the camera on Daniel Radcliffe, and he's just like, my Bologna. I mean, it's so funny. And again, deadpan, like the delivery
takes
is so
it very
serious.
Seriously.
And his friends instantly recognize the genius.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, and he puts on the accordion, and it's Weird Al, by the way. Weird Al's doing all the songs. Yeah. He recorded him for this movie. Daniel Radcliffe's doing a great job. He sang live.
Yeah, he sings live on set, but then they dub in
Weird Al.
That's pretty good.
But it looks really good.
It does.
And
it looks good, yeah.
The voice, I mean, it sounds...
And it's obvious.
Funny. It's very funny, but it looks good, but it sounds ridiculous because but it's really great. And so he puts on this performance, and it's just hilarious. And the guys take it like he's going to change the world. That's the thing. They hear him sing a song about My Bologna, and they go, you have to get your music out
to the
world.
We can go record it in the bathroom.
Yeah, and then he's like, I the bus.
Also
Tom,
true.
Is that true? Okay.
No.
Yeah, okay, they record it in the bathroom of a college radio station.
It sounds bad. I mean, that recording.
Oh, I was going to say not a bus station. Okay.
No, it was like they were working at the college radio station. They went to the, but they did record it in a bathroom. Gotcha. If you hear the original version of My Bologna, I mean, it is brutal.
The joke.
It sounds like he sang it into a cassette recorder, because I think that's what he did.
But that's Weird Al, you know, not taking himself too seriously. That's what you mean. He wrote this part in because he's like, yeah, let's go record this in a bathroom. That's it sounded like it because that's what it was.
And a lot of acts did that because of the acoustics. Like, that's not a weird thing. Yeah. Like, oh, the Beatles did it. The Monkees did it. I think Bad Company did it. Like, it's a Bad Company.
But it's great. But in the movie, in the way that it comes up, it's hilarious. It's like, oh, and I think the bathroom of the bus terminal has great acoustics. And you see him in the bathroom. People are walking in and out of the bathroom, tripping over him. But, like, he records the hit, and he brings it to the record executives.
Played by Weird Al.
One is Weird Al, and one is Will Forte.
Will Forte.
It's the Scotti Brothers, which is who released his music. His albums were originally on Scotti Brothers Records.
Okay.
And they are just like...
They also released Survivor's Eye of the Tiger.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh.
So.
From Rocky 2, mind you.
3.
Yeah.
Isn't 3 Hearts on Fire? Oh,
no, that's 4. 4, my
four
friend.
Is Hearts on Fire. That's right.
4. You're don't forget it.
Yes. Could I?
Well, you know, and there's Eye of the Tiger Redux, I think, comes back in 4, too.
Oh, only if they earned it.
Yeah.
Now, this scene with these Scotti brothers.
Yes, sir.
This is some of my philosophy on comedy for you.
Okay.
So, they don't like his stuff, right? They're telling him he's bad, he's terrible.
They are brutal.
And then Will Forte just goes nuts. He's just
never
calling him
not
ugly,
funny.
Calling him, dresses bad, he's stupid.
Yeah.
And that is funny 5 years ago. But then you have Weird Al's character being like, okay, that's too far. Adding like another layer that now makes this, like if they were both just totally mean to him, that would have been like, well, I've seen that. This
but you're
is,
saying,
yeah, no, it's
Will,
funny because he's talking about Weird Al, the real person. Who's
but you're
next
saying
to
that
him.
Because Will Forte ramps it up to 11.
And then
no,
the
Weird
original
Al's
guy
there.
Is going like, that's too, now this is too much.
And
like,
it's played by the guy he's actually talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
And
which I thought made that scene great. Yeah. The fact that Weird Al was
Will
there.
Forte
to,
so much.
Oh, and it is. I mean, and even those things, like that, because that would just kind of be a played out thing. Yeah. The guy's really mean. And
being
it
really
is Will
mean,
Forte,
right.
And it would still be kind of funny. But like, you have to keep adding like a new element or twisting the element enough.
And Weird Al wrote this. And he's in the scene. He sounds like a comedic genius. I don't know what your problem is.
I think he makes good movies post UHF.
Okay. Weird Al makes good movies post UHF. Okay.
Batting 500.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Batting 1,000 out by that criteria.
What's so. Aluminum Foil was a great song. But
but this sets him off on his trajectory where now Weird Al is taking the world by storm. And the movie plays it up like. Obviously, Weird Al was a huge smash sensation. Like, don't get me wrong, but like, I love the way the movie puts him on superstardom. Like, he's living in a huge mansion.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine Weird Al actually moved.
He had multiple albums go platinum.
No, I know,
like,
I know, but
they were around his neck.
But the way that he, but the way that I don't think Weird Al ever lived the way he was presented in the show because he is a humble,
I mean,
more down-to-earth guy.
I think that Weird Al has made. Very good money
absolutely
doing what he does, but I don't think he wants to live
he doesn't
like
flash
that.
Yeah, it like yeah. that but the movie instantly puts Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al in this huge mansion
right he goes
luxury.
he goes to a party with
because that's what happens in biopics right your success goes to your head
well they play that like punk rock show right
yeah
and Dr. Demento's sitting in the corner.
That is a great.
That's
but they
so
go to
funny.
A biker bar, whatever, with the punk rock and all that, and Patton Oswalt's in the audience, and then Dr. Demento's like sipping,
played by Rainn Wilson,
is in the back of the show. Like he doesn't belong
in
there,
his
but he's
top
just,
hat
in his top hat, drinking a mixed drink.
And that's like, the thing. Every time we play a show, especially
I'll
if
plug
it's,
the band, who is it?
It doesn't matter. Especially if it's like. We kind of know it's not going to be great. Like, we got put on this thing. It's a Wednesday, but it's like with a band from Nashville. And if we knew a band from it, so we'll do this.
Yeah.
And we always say like, well, maybe a record executive's limo will break down outside.
Like in Wayne's World.
Like in Wayne's World. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And it's just such a, and I think right. Having him in his little, like,
Mr. Big, a big records
outfit. It was really funny.
No, it was great.
Cause that, doesn't happen. It's not real.
Are you saying that's not a thing?
That's not how it really happens.
I don't think so.
But yeah, they, I mean, this biker bar, they're going to turn on, I mean,
well, they've already turned the guy on this with garbage accordion. Punk band.
Yeah.
And so he comes up with the accordion and he's, you know, he's kind of crashing on stage, but all his friends who don't seem to play any instruments,
right.
they just go and pick up. One goes on the drums, one gets a guitar.
Hey, I didn't know you guys could play.
Yeah, they just start playing and they win everyone over and they're all chanting Weird Al and all this stuff.
Right.
And Dr. Demento goes back to his dressing room and he's like, you've got it. Like,
and they go to this party and you see. Like Frank Zappa and
Gallagher's there.
Gallagher's
Pee-wee
there.
Herman. Gallagher's
Pee-wee.
Who Paul I F. thought Tompkins, right?
Paul F. Tompkins is Gallagher.
Yorma was Paul Rubens.
So I got to tell you,
Pee-wee.
When Yorma I first saw that, I thought it was Paul Rubens. And I was like,
seems like they could have got him.
I'm saying, I feel like they could have got him.
He still does the Pee Wee thing.
That's why I thought that. But
Conan O'Brien is Andy Warhol.
Which I thought was pretty
good. I mean,
Emo Phillips is in there.
Is he?
Yeah, and then Dimitri Martin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is he Salvador Dali? Or is Emo Phillips Salvador
Dali? Tiny Tim?
Yeah, I think he's Tiny Tim, and Emo Phillips is Salvador Dali.
That's pretty great. Pretty
and David Domashian was in there. He plays the John Deacon from Queen.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's actually one of my favorite parts. He's like, I'm from Queen.
He's like, John Deacon.
Well, no one knows. Yeah.
He's like, from Queen. And they're like, are you, though? Like, the bass player from Queen?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I love that.
I wish that hadn't been a celebrity cameo and had actually been.
Oh,
sure. Yeah.
Funny. So, but the big one is that Jack Black is there playing Wolfman Jack. And
I've met like five of the people in this movie.
That's awesome.
Surprised they didn't ask you to come in and play
part. Do a cameo.
So the big deal is like Dr. Demento is like, what are you doing here, Wolfman Jack? And they're like rivals and Wolfman
Jack.
Like,
I will say Jack Black does a pretty good Wolfman Jack impression. Yeah.
He does.
That's pretty good.
I love Jack Black. It's always great to see him. What? You don't like?
I could do without Jack Black.
Hot takes on this show.
School of Rock's a good movie.
I don't disagree.
I like a good movie.
I agree.
He's good.
But anyway, School of Rock is his Good Morning Vietnam. It's the film property where they figured out how to use him appropriately.
Richard Linklater, man.
Yeah. I do love you some High Fidelity, though.
Oh, I love High Fidelity. Yeah. That was one of his first things. I mean, I think Cable Guy was the first time I saw him.
When he gets his arm blown off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Waterworld.
Yeah, Waterworld might have been his very first thing. That was
A Neverending Story 2.
Oh.
Jack Black's in that.
Is he?
He's the bully.
With Jonathan Brandis?
I believe.
Yeah. Shallow Hal probably doesn't hold up.
Sure doesn't.
I don't think it held up in the moment.
He can't hold it up because she's actually...
Oh, Don't spoil it.
So anyway, so Wolfman Jack is like, I don't think this guy's really... I've heard his little songs. If you can't come up with a parody song on the spot, you know, then you've got nothing. And so then he... Because the guy from Queen is there.
Another one rides the bus.
And everyone's singing along.
Like, that's not funny.
Oh, right.
It's funny in the movie. That song is just not funny.
but everyone, like all the celebrities there, and they're like playing along and singing, and Gallagher's smashing a melon at the right time.
They don't even wear ponchos at his shows.
It's hilarious. And then you know, at the end of that, it's like they showed him up, and then Dr. Demento calls security, and they come and tase Wolfman Jack and drag him off. But yeah, so I mean, he just becomes this huge hit. But one of the we see Madonna watching an interview or something. He's doing an interview
like
on
that,
TV,
yeah.
And like there's the Weird Al bump, the Yankovic bump,
which has to be true. Right?
It is. But like, so they're interviewing him about this thing that's been known that like, yeah, when he parodies your song, you sell a bunch of records. And so Madonna's sitting there like the Yankovic bump. Like she clearly she's like, I would like this for my songs. And so she basically tries to infiltrate. She does. Well, and the funny part is too that like we find out that this relationship
only been 6 hours,
because it looks like it's over the course of days or something. But she basically shows up at his mansion, unannounced,
and then when they're at dinner the next after he records Eat It.
Like they're in this serious relationship, and you think it's been going on for weeks. He's like, "This has been the best 6 hours."
He says,
of my life.
"I'm not doing any more parodies." And he records Eat It, and he goes back to the brothers, and he kicks them. He's like, "This is the greatest thing I've ever heard." And while they're at dinner, the real Weird Al calls Daniel Radcliffe and says, "Hey, look, Michael Jackson has parodied."
Should have been.
He's taking credit for it.
Yeah, he's taking credit.
He's
for
not
it, right?
Like he's not saying he parodied it. He's like he's taking credit.
No,
for
I think
the song,
I think
right?
he is. I
he's
think
saying
that's
he parodied
the
it.
Joke.
They're
saying,
"Oh, did they actually?"
It's
say
a parody of. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then
And then he's just appalled that someone
would parody. Yeah. Oh,
can't you do something? And they're just like, no.
That's hilarious. That's right. I forgot about that. But it's a great scene. And the whole idea, like, this is the point when Madonna shows up and he's at the mansion. He says, I'm not going to parody songs anymore. This is where the paths split. Like,
yeah.
It's obviously been embellished and it's humorous and it's not 100% factual. But as Tom said, like, the things that seem ridiculous are actually kind of based in truth.
Yeah. Like, there's a kernel of truth. And also, his parents were very supportive.
Yeah.
Of
yeah. Him. Oh, so sure. It obviously is very, you know, it's a lot of it is fictional, but it still follows this certain path. But at this point, when she shows up at the mansion and he's decided I'm not going to do parodies anymore, I mean, right there, you're like, oh, well, that never happened. Yeah. Clearly did parodies. And then, like, he does Eat It before Beat It.
Right.
So it goes off on this completely different path. And the Madonna thing, he said in an interview he met Madonna once for 40 seconds.
Yeah.
And now,
although supposedly, maybe it's apocryphal, but supposedly she had said, I wonder when Weird Al's going to do Like a Surgeon, and that got back to him, and he was like,
done.
Yeah.
Got yes, you. I got you covered.
He threw away his version of Like a Sturgeon.
Mm.
And
are you serious right now?
No.
Oh,
but the first what? The first part, not the sturgeon part. Though. Yeah.
So anyway, but they hook up. There's like a steamy love scene.
Yeah. He's got lipstick all over his face.
Yeah. So you know, they hook up and everything. But yeah, they go out to dinner, and then this has been the best 6 hours.
six hours of my life.
It's ridiculous.
She ends up getting kidnapped.
Yeah. Oh, there's a through line that, like, Pablo Escobar wants Weird Al to play at his party. He's like, I'm not gonna go play for Pablo Escobar. And then Weird Al, the manager, says, like, they're offering you 3 billion pesos.
It's like, how much is that in American?
Yeah, he's like, it's a lot of money. He's like, I don't care, I don't want it. And so
I already did the math.
Yeah, right. And so he shuts that down. But clearly, you know, that ridiculous storyline is going to come back. Well, yeah, they come and kidnap Madonna,
right,
to get him back there to play the party,
and he kills them all in a ridiculous action sequence.
Oh my gosh, so great.
Weird Al kills all of Pablo Escobar's henchmen and Pablo Escobar with a CD.
I mean, he's like Ramboing.
Yeah.
Didn't Weird Al do a parody? Okay.
In UHF.
That's that's why I don't get why they didn't dress him up like Rambo, because I'm like, he did this, and then he's with the gun. I didn't really understand.
Yeah, I felt like it was an homage to that.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, but without the outfit. I'm like, why did he not show up in the Rambo outfit?
It's a very bad, like, rubbery muscle suit that he's wearing. Yeah,
I knew it did. It was just surprising they didn't go with that when he stormed the place with the gun. Like, okay. But it's hilarious, because he's doing pretty good action choreography fighting these guys and you know, like, hand to hand, and then with the guns and everything. But yeah, he takes them all out and saves Madonna. But now Madonna admits that she was using him
and wants to run the
wants to run the cartels. Why run the music industry when we can run the world?
Which is just so hilarious that they've now gone off. Like, first of all, Madonna was hardly involved with Weird Al, as in they met for 40 seconds, but, like, now they've had a relationship, and then Madonna, the real person, wants to take over the cartel and run it with Weird Al.
I guess you can't really make any Sean Penn jokes with Madonna. Probably can't do that. Probably not.
Ill-advised.
Bad taste.
But
Guy Ritchie jokes? We make Guy Ritchie jokes?
That one's I don't know anyone would get them, but
that's true.
Yeah.
But so now they're enemies. Like, Madonna is shooting at him because he wants to leave. You know, that's too right. much.
Yeah, and like, not like shooting at him, but, like, you know, obviously she, like, shooting off to the side.
She's like shooting the same, for the first like 5 or 6 shots, it's shooting the same squib over and over again, but completely missing. And he walks away. And so you're like, oh, I guess we'll never hear from her again.
Nope, no more Madonna. And then he goes back home and he realizes that he's fallen off the rails, and he goes to work at the factory that his dad worked at, and still has yet to figure out what they do at the factory.
Yeah, because a family, he's like,
push that button,
like,
and turn that knob, and then what? And then what?
He pushes the wrong button, and
then
guy
sets
falls
a guy on fire.
Like,
that to me, like, this as much as this movie is very much a Weird Al, like, created thing, that scene is very, like, Looney Tunes, wackish.
Sure,
and that felt very, very, like, Weird Al original concept songs.
Yeah.
You know, like, just very crazy.
But the dad has a heart-to-heart. He's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I finally showed up to do what you wanted me to do. And he has a heart-to-heart where he's like, you know, you need to go pursue music. Like, he finally sees the light. And he tells him the story of why he never wanted to play accordion.
The line delivery from the dad when the story is over is the best line delivery of the entire, best joke of the whole movie, where he gives the whole, he was Amish and his parents took everything away from him and blah, blah. And Weird Al goes, huh, I never knew that story at all. He's like, yeah, because I
just
told
it to you. That's a great joke.
That was a great
But gag. He had written Amish Paradise. That wasn't the dad had written
us. I wanted him so bad to say it's a parody of an old Coolio song. The dad to say that 40 years ago he parodied.
Was that really Coolio?
Yeah.
It's Gangster's Paradise.
No, in the audience. I'm like, he just passed away.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So I'm saying
yeah,
the
right,
movie was filmed.
Right.
I mean, he passed away 2 weeks ago. Or
he to me like, is. I was.
It looked too young to be Coolio.
Well, when we were getting there.
But why wouldn't they have gotten Coolio with all the people they got?
But they didn't get anybody to play who they really were.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
If I remember right, he's the only one that I remember being like pissed.
Right. But he did recant.
He saw the record sales.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So Weird Al always gets permission. He won't.
Right.
He won't parody your song if you say no.
Who are the ones? Led Zeppelin.
Which he doesn't have to do.
He does not legally have to do. But if you don't want him to do it, like, he won't do it. And so, because he did a parody of Lose Yourself by Eminem, and you can hear snippets of it in concert. There's a pre-recorded thing, and they'll play a piece of it. But like to best of my knowledge, he's never released it because Eminem was like, no.
What a dork.
Yeah. And
but Eminem is like a comedy guy now. I can't believe he would have never.
Well,
like,
I think he was a comedy
more
guy
of a comedy
then.
Guy. Yeah.
Eminem?
Yeah.
Marshall Mathers.
Yeah, those early songs. Get it together.
Yeah, my name is. Yeah. Slim Shady.
That's what I'm looking for.
But I mean, like, Eminem, I mean, he played himself in, like, This Is the End or whatever.
No, it was The Interview.
Oh, The Interview, yeah. And he like makes pokes fun at himself.
Such a shame that guy's such a shithead, Franco.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
Because like that scene is really funny.
He's good. I mean, he's a good actor. He's a funny guy.
But
I don't want to like hang with him.
But Coolio, so Weird Al reached out to the record label, and the label said yes.
And
he assumed that Coolio, that the
was
label
Coolio
asked Coolio, and they hadn't. So when Coolio heard it, he was not happy. And like, which... I mean, it might be his biggest song, right? Like,
I think it is his biggest song.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And so, like, I just know Eat It got pretty big.
Oh, you mean Amish? I thought you meant Gangster's Paradise.
No, yes.
Like, name another one, Tom.
What is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, Get Your Booty on
That's
the Floor.
That's true. That is a Coolio song. That's fair.
But,
look at you. Good job.
I know things. But,
You used to have that hairdo, too, when
I
you did. Were back.
When I had hair.
Yeah.
That's why I lost it all. he would not have released that if they had actually asked.
He
Coolio.
Said something like the Grammys, right? Like there's like an interview of Coolio where he's like, nah, man, that song sucks.
Yeah.
And like said something.
And I think what it comes down to is there are certain artists that they have certain songs that are and I think that's Eminem's deal. I think Lose Yourself, because it's autobiographical, meant a lot to him. And he was like,
nope.
Yeah. But
it just seems like Eminem is a guy that at least nowadays kind of pokes fun at himself. I can't believe he would have never.
See,
know.
If you listen, there's a lot of comedy in his songs, but it's him making fun of other people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, especially back then.
And Lose Yourself, I mean, coming off of 8 Mile.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty heavy song if you listen, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
But, okay, so one bit of the only thing I'm going to complain about.
Oh, I thought you were going to do a wrestling corner. Thank goodness.
I am.
What? Okay.
So at this award ceremony, right, it's Diana
Hulk Hogan. There is.
Okay, now, for the record, they introduce him as the Intercontinental Champion, Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Hulk Hogan has never won the Intercontinental Championship.
Oh, my God.
Are we going to really drill down on this movie?
No, not at all.
This movie sucks.
That's the worst. No, but they said that, and I was like, come on. John Cena?
Played by James Preston Rogers.
Okay. Initially, I was like, it'd be kind of hilarious if Cena to
Oh, he was in Pixels. You would know him from.
I mean, we did cover that movie. Mm. So he wins this award, and of course, all of his friends are in the audience, and he was like, you know, there's so many people I'd want to thank, but I'm going to do that later in person. And of course, Rainn Wilson's like, you mother man. And he's going on and giving this very emotional speech, but there's a guy who sits in the audience holding a Rambo-style chain machine gun. And he just kind of says, I'm waiting for your signal. And of course, now we cut back to Madonna, who has like a scar on her face,
an eye patch.
And she's got a tear in her eye. And she said, take the shot. And of course, the guy stands up with this mass in the crowd and nobody stopped, of course, you know,
and brutally guns down.
But you don't see it. And then, of course, the next it's
they
Weird
do
Al
the
going,
freeze.
No!
Yeah.
But that's it. The movie. Ends.
And I turn to my lover, Courtney. I say, if they roll credits right now, that's funny.
Yeah.
And I think I might have even said, but they won't. They never do it. They never do the funny thing. And they did it.
And they did it.
And it says they ended Weird Al's biopic with him being shot down.
Weird Al Yankovic was shot and killed on stage.
Assassinated on stage in 1985.
And they do a hilarious, like, you know, video or photo montage of him growing up.
The credits are great because they start off like, oh, there's the real Weird Al. Like, oh, there's him as a kid. They do the thing where in biopics, like, where you've just seen the fake events and they show you the real ones. Like, oh, look how close they got it.
Right.
And they start off like, okay, that's close. They look similar. And then they go to all the falsified events and Photoshop Weird Al in.
And the Photoshop gets worse and worse. Yeah. The first couple, I was like, wait, is that right?
But the events get more and more ridiculous, and you know they're fake in the movie, but it's really Weird Al Photoshopped into those events, and it's hilarious. And then him getting gunned down on stage is a freeze frame photo event.
Yes. And then the last bit is from Carrie. That's what this is from, is when Madonna goes to his grave. And I love the gravestone where it says born, whatever, and then ate it.
Ate it, yeah.
You know, and then she goes to put the flower on the grave, and here comes Weird Al's hand, which is the end of Carrie. Spoilers for Brian De Palma's Carrie. This was a joy.
It is.
I would think the estate of Dimebag Daryl doesn't care for the ending of the film.
Probably not. That's a good point. Probably not. Man, that video is terrifying.
Catch me up. Right.
Have you ever seen that video?
No, I didn't know it was out there.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, you see it happen.
I don't know what's happening right
now. So, Dimebag Darrell
was the guitar player for Pantera, and then he started his own band. No, it was...
Because it was with the drummer from Pantera, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't the band he was on tour with. It was Superjoint Ritual, right? That's Phil Anselmo's band.
It was the other guys from Pantera, wasn't it?
No.
Phil.
No, it was just him.
Oh.
And
you're right, because that's why the guys
shot
him.
Done the show, I had, like, a month prior to it.
Yeah.
And so he was performing, and some crazy guy went up on stage and killed him.
And there's a video of it. It's like, you don't see it happen, but you can see, like, people rushing towards, like, it's like, you know, the camera's, like, off kilter.
Yeah.
And you can see the guy... It's crazy. Jeez. But yeah, the guy killed him because he said he broke up Pantera.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it wasn't as funny as the Weird Al one.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just stick to this one.
But this is an interesting time of the year because there is nothing coming out in theaters. And we've talked about how in February, what's the dead month that was dead and now it's not anymore?
February.
January was always pretty bad.
But then they put out Paul Blart and it blew up and they're like, hey, this works. Let's just play stuff.
John Wick came out in February, right? That was when...
Actually, the first movie I remember coming out in January and killing it was Ace Ventura.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. See?
But like, modern times.
Like a fluke, right?
I mean,
that didn't change things.
That's a movie that I found hilarious when I was that age.
Sure.
Don't like it now.
Oh, I think it's great until the end, just because the end
it
plays
so super inappropriate. Super.
The whole movie, like,
where he'd rather have a toilet plunger on his face than a man's lips.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the end is not funny at all, but the whole movie before
you were into it. What are you talking about?
It's crazy that the whole, like, they spend like 7 minutes on it at the end of how disgusted everyone is
when he turns Sean Young around.
Other than the ending that does not hold up, I'm like, I thought it was good because as a kid I didn't pick up on as many of the jokes and everything, because there's more adult humor in it than as a kid. You're just like, ha, big ha, time. He's talking from his butt.
Billy Madison's the same way. Can't watch it.
Oh, really?
I think it's terrible. It's not funny at all.
Oh, so the band was called Damage Plan.
Ah, okay.
And Vinnie Paul was also.
I thought so. But, like, it's...
Right there with you, Joe.
Thanks, buddy. we talked about it being on Roku, and I feel like since this month especially, there's really not... Black Panther is in a week, but you've had like this weird gap where there's been 3 weeks where there hasn't been anything of note in theaters.
Yeah.
That maybe it would have done okay.
Mm. I think it could have. Yeah.
Well, when's the last like comedy that came out? There was just that George Clooney
Paradise
thing.
Rom-com, though. That's
kind of a different thing.
That like comedy boom is over.
I mean, Bros was the last
one. Bros,
oh, yeah,
Bros.
It tanked hard.
Yeah. Which
but
is
it was also a rom-com.
I guess I'm talking broad comedy.
Yeah.
They just don't really...
Yeah, there were very few broads in that movie.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
But comedies are streaming now. That's the thing. People, and if they're in the theater, they go, just wait for it to go to streaming. Yeah. Like, that's... People go to the movie theaters for action, for superheroes, for the big stuff.
For spectacle. It costs money, and you want spectacle.
Jokes, on a small screen, jokes work. You know, it's just...
Yeah, there was that boom from 2004, Right? Like, that's kind of when still...
The Hangover was...
No, even before that.
Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers, yeah. Yeah.
The Hangover is 2009. The only reason I remember that is because they say it in Bros.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like that... So, like, 2004, 2003, because Dodgeball, all that stuff is right around that time. And then The Hangover hits, and then everybody's trying to make that next rated R comedy for, like, 2012, maybe? Yeah. And then it's over.
Yeah.
Like, it, those are... They don't
really... Yeah, streaming is definitely where the comedies seem to show up. But, I mean, the thing is that with Roku Channel, I feel like, yeah, no one really watches the Roku Channel or whatever, but...
I think they did this to get you in to look at
it.
Yeah, I didn't even have it on my smart TV.
I downloaded it too, but I'm like, you know, what a smart move. Roku, I think, is who bought all the Quibi stuff we talked about.
Yeah.
They have, like, widescreen Quibi.
Reno 911, yeah.
So... I mean, this is a really smart move on Roku's part. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to say about the quality of the film.
No.
Streaming, whoever streaming person has the most money can buy whatever movie, and you know they'll sell to the highest bidder at this point because streaming is where most stuff ends up.
I was surprised when I downloaded the Roku app, put on my TV. I'm like, oh, there's stuff in here.
Yeah.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
And I had like one commercial during it. I had one before it, and I think it stopped one time in the middle of the movies.
Oh, it stopped at every break. From look at the bar on my TV anyway, it'd show you where the commercial break. Breaks were going to be.
Yep.
It stopped, and I'd say there was probably five times, and the most commercials I think we ever got were three, but a lot of times we got one, and they were almost, and there was always a Roku promo in there.
Right.
But I think it depends
but
on
they made
what
it, they made the break make sense.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do that, and break is like, you're right in the middle of the scene.
They were very well placed.
They weren't 4 minutes long like Hulu when you're watching a 22-minute show, and they put 4 minutes of commercials
six times
through it.
Can I just get through an episode of Hannibal, please?
I wouldn't know. I'd pay for the...
Oh, we went to the Plus or whatever because it was bad. Yeah.
All right.
I'm rich, so...
Oh, you're a big musical artist. Living in your mansion with your platinum record.
Sky's limo broke down. The rest is history.
Mr. Big from Big
So anyway, this was great.
This was,
and if you haven't seen it, you should. I don't think you can spoil this movie. Like, there are great jokes in it, and it's totally worth watching.
We didn't do it justice. Funny as we said it was.
I wonder how you talk about a comedy on something like this. And the thing is, you kind of don't. You talk about a bunch of other stuff, and then you say
it around. That's why I don't think we ever really...
Welcome to Real Spoilers.
Yeah, but also, we don't really do comedies anyway. Because you're right. It is
hard. Yeah, because I always say comedies are really hard because they're pass-fail, right? Like, it either made you laugh or it didn't.
Right.
And most comedies don't have other things to really discuss.
Right.
And, you know, so, yeah.
Well, right. Like, why you spoil Dodgeball at the end, they win? Like, well, that's not really what the movie
is. Right. For sure. But anyway, this was a lot of fun.
This is good stuff. Yeah. This is good stuff.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. Also, check out Binge Movies. Jason just posted an episode where we rank five vampire films that was put out just in time for Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And Matt, where can they find you and your wares?
I live on Cherokee Street.
Okay.
Nope. Don't put that on. Edit that out.
Whatever. Come on by. I'm there most of the day.
Okay. Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers while you're there. Like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, I forgot to write an outro.
Weird Al.
Dodgeball, they win.
Yeah, see?
Dodgeball, they win. Dodgeball,
they
win.
Matt saves the day again.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince.
I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.